This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
شما در این قرن معجزه کردید. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This program, of course, is dedicated to the memory and to the greatness and to the legacy that Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, is left for the world and is still changing the world. In our previous program, we were discussing with our expert in the studio several important points which we are bringing out from Imam Khomeini's life. And of course, Imam Khomeini's life is, for many experts, from an anthology of a book that has been compiled on Imam Khomeini by academics and experts and scholars around the world, still pretty much, even today, an enigma in spite of all the research and all the papers that have been written about the subject of this man and his great legacy. Of course, we are now seeing the effects of this legacy in terms of the Islamic awakening that is occurring throughout the region, especially in the Middle East region. But of course, it has had its impact all over the world, and that's what we're discussing. We wanted to discuss two aspects today in today's program. The first is the fact that Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, was a man who was not of his time. He was actually beyond time, although he was in the context of the late 20th century. But of course, his words, his manners, his deeds are something beyond time. And we want to look into that aspect of his life. And we want to look at it from different expertise and from different perspectives as possible, as broadly as we can. And secondly, we also want to look at the fact that Imam Khomeini also left a legacy, which he repeated from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his holy family, that spoke about the fact that as far as Islam is concerned, that is the true Muhammadan Islam, as they say, is the fact that there is the Quran and the infallibles, the holy family of the Holy Prophet, which is in with the 12 Imams, and of course the last Imam is the awaited Savior, Imam al-Mahdi, may God hasten his appearance soon. And we want to put all this into a context where we can understand from which perspective Imam Khomeini was coming from and what he tried to achieve in terms of the goals that he had in his vision as far as the Muslim Ummah were concerned. We're not going to really ask questions in the sense that, you know, why Imam Khomeini did this and why Imam Khomeini did that. But what we really want to do is trying to have a deep and profound understanding of the enigma of Imam Khomeini. So, first of all, I'd like to welcome my guest again, which is Dr. Hassani, who has been so valuable in terms of his perspective and his unique angle on this great personality. And I'd like to welcome him, first of all, onto the program. Thank you, Dr. Hassani.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for being with us. Dr. Hassani, tell us, please, you know, from, you know, this first question. Imam Khomeini, really, although he was a personality of the 20th century, but we didn't get to know him in the sense that of, I would say we were given an introduction to him when he appeared on the scene in terms of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, particularly here in Iran. But as far as Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, was concerned, this was the Islamic Revolution for the entire Muslim Ummah, because that's what his aim was. His aim was to unify the Muslim Ummah. He wanted to guide them, particularly in a century or a time in which religion had taken the back seat. And of course, what was espoused by capitalism or communist ideologies was at the forefront of what people understood the world to be at that time. And of course, Imam Khomeini saw something far beyond that, and he brought that out of the Holy Quran. And we discussed the fact that he was living the Quran, because even the smallest action you mentioned, Dr. Hasni, was about even the way he drank water, for example, or the way he behaved in front of Edward Shevardnadze in terms of his foreign policy, in terms of his etiquette towards unbelievers, his behavior and humbleness towards believers. So tell us, you know, this man becomes the imam. You know, I mean, imam was a word that we only understood as somebody who leads a prayer in a mosque. But the imam gave a whole new definition to the word in the 20th century as well, in terms of the understanding that there is a need for human beings to have the leadership which connects man to God. Put that in some context for us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So many different subjects. Brother Ejaz, I am listening to you very carefully. The word you use, enigma. Indeed, this is a big enigma for those who don't want to understand. This is number one.
Right.
With regard to the fact
that they don't want to understand because they fear the consequences.
Exactly. You know, the small of Jokund, the picture, the famous picture.
Yes,
enigma.
Yes.
Enigma for, you can see it. It is enigma, but you can talk about it for those who wants to.
Sure.
The point that you made that he cared about Muslims, of course, you talk about Islamic awakening, you know, that's true. But he did care about the entire humanity.
He did.
So that's another subject.
Very good.
Let me start by saying this. Brother Ejaz,
yes.
The great people in the history, and this is my belief, big people, and by big I don't mean physical. I'm talking about the character here, the positive character. Great people, like, they are like mountains.
That's beautifully put. That's very eloquently
the
put.
The bigger they are, the harder to grasp the volume of it.
Exactly.
Great people, and I am going purposely to repeat this. Great personalities, they are like mountains. In order to understand part of it, some of it, you have to step back.
Exactly.
You have to create a distance. It could be physical, could be in time. Imam Khomeini, just like his ancestors, the impeccables, we believe they are from the family of Sadat.
That's right.
The root goes back to
the Holy Prophet.
Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his holy progeny.
Exactly.
They are so great, just like mountain. You have to step back. And they also like a beautiful picture. You have to step back in order to appreciate the beauty of it.
Exactly.
You know, a miniature, you have to get into the detail of it. There are so many different aspects of a beautiful picture. Color, the way it is put, the way it is painted.
Yeah.
You have to step back.
Exactly.
This is number one.
Right.
And Imam Khomeini, as a great person, is not the exception in that matter. How many years after his demise? Why? Imam Khomeini still is the subject of real talk. We have so many different, you know, talk shows.
Sure.
But we're talking about something valuable, something important, something worth talking about. Brother Ejaz, Khomeini is a piece of land. When you say,
right,
talking about Khomeini,
yes,
it's only,
yes,
a geography. But Khomeini is a piece of divine work. Just like I mentioned at the beginning.
Divine tapestry, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just like I mentioned the great person and personality of Abu Zar.
Yes.
Who happens to be a great companion of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Of course, yes.
He set so many different examples for us in order how to deal with government, in order how to deal with oppression, in order how to raise our voice in the time of misery. Mm. But he was an Abu Zar to begin with. He was only a
shepherd.
But the beauty of knowing Abu Zar is refer, it goes back to know the work of Allah.
Know the work of Allah.
Imam Khomeini was the art of Allah. Allah is telling us, look, it is 1400 years after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Yes.
And all his successors, yes. The 12 Imam. Mm-hmm. I can raise one person in the 20th century that some communist mentality says religion is the opium of the masses. Of the masses.
Yeah. That's the cliche.
That's a cliche. Mm. And this cliche was believed by so many different people.
Yes, because they saw that religion was irrelevant.
So in this 28th century, the miracle happens. You know what the word miracle means in Arabic? Under normal circumstances, nobody else can do it.
Yes, nobody else can.
But God.
But God.
And someone by the permission of God.
God. Very nice.
You see what I'm saying?
Eloquently put, yes. By the permission of Allah.
We have to think about the meaning, the real meaning of the word.
Yes.
You know how much we could be taught? Self-taught, I should say.
Yeah.
Just by reading the word and getting to the meaning, the real meaning of the word. To ordinary people, it was impossible to be pure, to be clean,
yes.
To follow the path.
To live the Quran.
To live the Quran, to say something that nobody can imagine. Hmm.
But wouldn't you say that miraculousness is coming out of the fact that because he's living the Quran,
That gave him the power.
That gave him the edge.
Let me give you a reference to Quranic
verse.
Please,
fire away.
I mean, this is it's supposed to be our style. When we're talking about something, and we talk about it as a fact, we're not talking in vain.
No.
We're not hallucinating.
No, put it in some context for us.
We put it in some context.
Yeah.
God, remember, we talked about this before.
Yeah.
God's promise is valid, no matter who says differently.
Yeah.
And Quranic teaching tells us, let me give you something.
Sure.
In chapter Azab, verse 23.
Right.
I read the Arabic.
Please.
Then I translate it.
Yes, please do that.
Min al-mu'mineen, first of all, is talking about a group of faithful. Min al-mu'mineen.
Right.
There are some men among the faithful.
Some men among the faithful.
Some men among
the faithful.
And Brother Ejaz, I cannot repeat this enough. Remember, God is talking to us.
Mm.
This is a promise. This is a statement.
Mm.
This is a imperative statement. Min al-mu'minina rijalun, there are among the faithful, there are some men. Sadaqu ma'ahadullah alayh. The translation goes like this: among the faithful are men who fulfill what they have pledged to Allah.
My God.
You see?
My God.
This is the miracle.
Yeah, this is the miracle. They
Why?
Have pledged something to Allah.
They pledged a covenant, if you will.
Mm.
A promise. God promised them something.
Yes.
They believed it.
They believed
with
it.
Every single cell in their body. Mm. They didn't act, you know, for people to say, oh, he's a faithful, so let's reward them something with material or what. They don't care, in a sense.
Mm.
They don't care whoever says what about them, as long as God is pleased with them or not.
Exactly.
Min al-mu'minina rijal. This is very beautiful ayah. Mm. A good verse, a good example of what Imam Khomeini, who Imam Khomeini was, and still is. That's why he's still changing the world. That's why he still have enemies. This is one way to know. Great people always, you know, during the history of prophets, apostles, messengers, whatever, they kill them. Why they kill messengers? Because you cannot obviously kill the message. They killed messengers because they thought by killing messengers, look at the wrong mentality, wrong calculation against divine promise.
Of course.
They killed apostles, prophets, messengers during the history.
Mm.
Okay? And they thought by killing them, they can relieve themselves. they can arrive in a comfortable situation, and they didn't.
No.
Because that's against promise.
Well, I mean, you talk about this miraculous thing, and I'd like to relay this for our listeners, because we want to, as you say, we want to put it back into our context again, that this is not just some argument that we are coming up with from the Holy Quran. As you say, this is a beautiful verse, that these are men who have pledged something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to see it fulfilled. It's brilliant, the perspective you're taking, but I'd like to put it in this context, that this miraculousness was there before our eyes, because communism was saying religion is the opium of the masses, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a leader from the masses in order to show,
to take upon his promise,
or take upon his promise, this pledge to help these masses to get that connection back with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he does it in the modern context, where you have the strongest military power on earth, the United States of America. No doubt even the Soviet Union felt belittled before America.
So-called superpower.
So-called
which
superpower.
Which I call super misery.
Super misery. Thank you very much for that. Yeah. But at the end of the at that particular juncture, as you said, it was a beautiful point you raised there about the killing of the messenger in order to relieve themselves of the message. But we saw in the desert of Tabas, this abandoned airfield in southern Iran, where President Jimmy Carter, weeping on the television, having to explain the failure of one of the most sophisticated military powers on earth in order to slay the messenger. Imam Khomeini was in his night vigil with mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was in the morning when he said mm-hmm. that America can't do a damn thing.
Cannot do a damn thing.
Because when that mission was aborted, as you said, they wanted to look for that relief in the 20th century, and they didn't get it. Give us some context.
This is the promise of God. And you mentioned something very nice. Let me take upon this.
Sure.
Okay, back then, you know, historically, they tried to destroy the Kaaba.
Yeah.
The house of Allah,
which
was a
right.
symbol. The
that's
building
right.
itself, the physical building.
The building, yeah.
Okay, God at that time, look at the miracle, a different one, and a different level.
At a different level, yeah.
At least in my opinion, because I like to think about things.
Sure.
Back then, God sent him some kind of birds. Brother Ajaz, birds have wings, but the sand does not have wing.
No.
But it does the same.
Yes.
So this is a miracle. This is a promise.
Yeah. I mean, that's
for those who wants to see it.
Yeah. I mean, for our listeners who perhaps are not aware of this event and how big an impact that really made on all of us at that time. I mean, I remember the newsreels.
I remember Jimmy Carter almost cried. Or he did cry.
Well, I mean, before that, before he actually had to
address. That was the breaking news.
The breaking news. Before he had to address the nation, we got a whiff of what had happened in Tabas. And it came through some of the reports that last minute, when one of the big personal carriers, that helicopters that had landed in at that night, was about to land that night, had a clear vision that the weather was fine. The weather was absolutely perfect for the landing of that particular helicopter.
As far as the technology concerned.
Yeah, they got a weather report. They were getting, you know, satellite.
All different kind of calculation except for what God
does.
Does.
And that's the thing.
And that's the miracle.
Yeah. And the point is that particular storm happens when that assassination squad was about to land. I mean, that's the thing. When you go into the details of it, there was 150 men who were trained by the CIA to do this particular job of slaying the messenger. They were on that personal helicopter.
And the messenger this time was Imam Khomeini.
Yeah, and he was in his night vigil, He was in his prayer. And at that particular moment when they were landing, they were told by the carrier from which they were coming from that the weather report in the last 30 seconds is absolutely perfect for landing. And they get suddenly, out of nowhere, a sandstorm.
Even some elements inside perhaps could work with them,
yeah.
According to them.
Yeah, but the sandstorm came out of nowhere, clogged up the engine.
Mm-hmm.
The pilot was blind.
The high-tech engine.
The high-tech engine, yeah. And the equipment went berserk, and he just ended up landing on top of the other aircraft that had landed on the field earlier and crashed right into that and burst into flames. And, you know, they were all burnt to death. Mm-hmm. That was it all over.
Brother, the reason...
You know, you said about the stones in Surah Field.
The reason I said that, let me explain but myself. I'm not trying to make a story.
But I'm just saying to...
I'm not trying to make, you know, this long speech of nothing.
Yeah.
The reason I'm saying this is because when God intends to do something, it doesn't matter in what shape, how, where.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Mm. If the job should be done by a bird...
Mm.
Then, which happens to be a living creature, he would do it.
Do it.
But it doesn't need a bird to destroy the enemy of himself.
Mm.
This is my point. And I refer to another chapter, chapter Fath, the victory.
Yes.
In one verse, it says, وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It belongs to him.
Mm.
Everything as... a soldier.
Yeah.
What is a soldier's task? What soldiers does? You're telling me.
To kill.
To defend.
To defend and kill
to
his
defend,
enemy.
And if it's necessary, to kill.
Mm.
For the commander of the higher authority. In this case, in every case, the higher authority is Allah.
Yes.
وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It belongs to him. You have to remember the Arabic word of it. وَلِلَّهِ. It belongs to him.
Mm.
It's from him. It's for him.
Mm.
جُنُودُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. All the entire military soldiers of the heavens and the earth.
Mm.
This is my point. This is a miracle for someone who believes. And believing, brother, is a very, very sensitive issue.
Yes.
Let me give you another example.
Please.
Brother, one of the nature of the water is what? It's wet.
Yes.
Do you know why it's wet? Because God wants it to be wet.
Mm.
And this is the belief. He created it.
Mm.
The fire, one of the aspects of the fire is what?
Heat.
To burn.
Burn, to heat.
But why the fire doesn't burn Abraham, peace be upon him? Why? It doesn't work.
Mm.
This is the kind of belief that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Imam believed this.
Yes.
And acted upon it.
Yes.
And he didn't care what century it was, what kind of enemy he was facing, domestically and internationally.
Yeah.
And he succeeded. And the chapter of Ahzab, the ayah in chapter Ahzab, it says, "Min al mu'minina rijalun sadaqu." It's a covenant. It's a promise. It's not just one-sided aspect of it.
Yeah.
God promises you something, you promise something to God, but you have to came clean out of it. Imam Khomeini did that.
Yeah.
He fulfilled the pledge that he had with his creator.
Exactly. And what I wanted to say, which you quite nicely and eloquently put it in terms of the miracle of the elephant, is that, as you say, everything belongs to Allah, as you quoted from the Quran. But at the end of the day, it shows the insignificance of the opposition.
And at the end of the day, it shows us something else. Who's the fool?
Who's the real fool? Exactly.
Who's the real fool?
Fool.
Who wants to try the tried one again and again and again.
Exactly.
To see it for himself. You've seen it before.
Yeah.
You're going to see it again.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to change.
Let me put it this way. How many bodyguards did... Imam Khomeini have that day when these helicopters were landing in Tabas?
Not so many. Let me tell you a story. I'm trying to make it short. This kid talking to his father, complain about, hey, this is wrong, that's wrong. You know, it's tough. It's getting tougher by the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do. You know, he was so miserable, complaining.
Right.
Nagging, complaining.
Right.
And his daddy, this is one of the daddy's job, to come, to listen. And at the end, give the good advice. He said, son, you said everything, and I might agree with you, but you didn't mention something, which is important.
Mm.
And that is called God.
Right.
You said all different things about different subject matter. I agree with you.
Sure.
But in the equation, where is God's place?
Mm.
This is where the enemy of Islam goes wrong.
Go wrong. And this is where Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, was right. Because that's what he was trying to get across to what they call the opium of the masses, that God is there.
And that was a miracle.
God exists. He was doing his night vigil. He was talking to his greatest bodyguard while these helicopters were crashing in the desert of Tabas by a small handful of sand.
By the way, he didn't miss his night prayer at that time.
No, I mean, this was a point we pointed out in the previous programs, that he never missed one rakat, one unit of prayer his entire life. I wish we could live up to such standards. I myself feel ashamed when I speak about such things. But there we are. But in the next session, I hope that we'll touch on another very important aspect, which we couldn't cover in this program, and that is this legacy that the great Imam re-emphasized from the Holy Prophet about the Quran and Itrati. And I'm mentioning this because there are other schools of thought out there as far as the Islamic world is concerned or the Muslim world is concerned. Why did Imam Khomeini place so much emphasis on this tradition of Taqlain? Dr. Hasni, thanks very much for being on the program today. I really appreciate the discussion we had.
Thank you
for having me. Very, very inspiring. And it leaves me just to say to our audience, Wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessing of Allah be upon you all.